Aldrey with Elise Osborne. Thanks for listening.
Somewhere in the 90s, I was hanging out in my stepmother's bedroom, and on her little tiny TV that was sat upon her dresser was a commercial for a famous hamburger company. And in the commercial, with all the close-ups of the grill, with the fire coming out of the grill, and the hamburgers just sliding around like skee ball, which I'm pretty sure is not how they actually make it. It's just an irrelevant fantasy. So this is a commercial that I've seen many times over. We've all seen these commercials. It's just hamburgers sliding around on fantasy grills. And the song that they were using to play, the tantalizing cheese melting scene, was Melt With You by Modern English. And I felt my heart break. I was a kid, and this was a song I had heard on the radio so many times, and there's part of me that, like, just lived on the radio. I lived on the radio. As in, radio is, at the time, because I'm probably the last generation that lived in the true dark ages before the internet. You could change the dial, you know? You could select from, at best, 7 different radio channels, but usually it's more like 3. That's how I did anyway. That's how it was where I was from. And I loved the songs of the 80s, and you know, I was born in the 80s, and I would hear that shit on the radio all the time, and it was like part of my soul, even though it was being broadcasted everywhere and everyone can hear it if they wanted to. It somehow felt very personal and very special. So when you'd hear a song on the radio out of the, what, like 27 songs they play on repeat, and it was your song, you just felt like, oh my God, there's an angel somewhere out there, and it's looking at me right now, and it knows how I feel, and it wants me to know that it would stop the world and melt with me, whatever the fuck that means. And that's nice. So when I saw a famed hamburger commercial using the term melt with you to just show you some American cheese square melting on a sweaty hamburger patty with painted on grill marks, I really did feel a loss of innocence. And I get that that's dramatic, but you have to understand, which I'm sure you do actually understand this, the power of music is unnameable. There's no way to really completely quantify it. Sure, you can, like, whack off all you want, going onto the internet and finding videos of people sprinkling a bunch of sand particles on a speaker, and they're like, look what happens if you play Mozart. The music makes it look like a flower. You know, like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you can do all the things you want to do with experimenting with music, but I don't think we can ever really express its magic. It's invisible. I don't know if any of y'all saw the Johnny Cash movie with Joaquin Phoenix, but there's a scene I love so much, and it's in all movies of this type, about some little kid that got kicked around, and you know, he had an abusive elder person or some kind of bully that's like, you're never gonna amount to nothing. You know, those kinds of scenes in movies. But there's a scene in that movie where little baby Johnny Cash is listening to the rusty old log of a radio, and I don't even know what it was. It was just his stepdad is like so mad. He's like listening to some dorky gospel song or whatever, and he's like, I hate music. And he this is my imagination. I don't really vividly remember what happened too well, but I think he just like kicks it over and plugs it, or he, you know, beats up the radio and he goes, you know what's coming out of there? You hear me, boy? You know what's coming out of there? Nothing. And he has a great point, 'cause it's like it's just some air puffs, you know, it's not nothing. But it's not something either. Like, what is it? What is it? I guess I'm gonna keep going on to name drop. I don't know if that's an appropriate use of that term, but I want to reference something that Alan Moore said about spell casting and hexing and magic. He was talking about how there's a lot of powerful wizardry in music making, and if you, for example, want to really curse someone, you can hex their name by making like a clever musical diss about them. And if it's, let's say, if it's catchy and people keep repeating it, this can go on to shame this person. It could make this person's life difficult in some ways and even shame their family. And if it's really successful, you know, it can shame them all the way into the grave and beyond. So this is a point he made, and I have to agree. The way that we marry these thought forms and concepts into a sound wave, and if we do it masterfully, we sort of invisibly and instantly suture these concepts into someone's brain. And like, no duh, like that's of course what the act of listening is. But when you do it musically, if done so properly, you can really transform thoughts. You can make a mood in a room shift. You can open new insights into how a person even sees the world or themselves, or how someone feels about a demographic of other people, you know? You see all the time, or I don't know if you still do, because the way that our world works now is a little more diverse as far as media, but again, I'm just going to keep talking about being an old person and tell you about back in the day in the 90s. You would see all these musicians going on talk shows and being like chastised by some doofus with a microphone that would just be like, don't you think you are setting a bad example for young people today because you look sexy and you're singing confusingly? You know, so it was, and then they'd have to be like, no, I think everyone should be able to think for themselves. Audience applauds, you know. And sure, that's a great idea, but what sells it is a lot of things, but one is feeling moved by the sound. A sound in itself, even with or without lyrics, the sound itself, it can warp the soul, or it can enlighten you, or it can liberate you, or it can. Music is magic, and that's what I want to talk about today. So magic means the magician. So the magician in the tarot is the first numbered card in the major arcana. Well, I guess zero is a number, but do you know and understand what I mean? It's a zero is a flat number. So here's another thing about the zero. You can add as many numbers as you want to zero, and it's still zero. So then you see the zero, the fool, is having, he has license to move. So you see, what's the fool's journey? Because he is moving all up and down that arcana. He can move anywhere. And because his number is zero, he is all of the figures and none of them. He is us. He is you. And when he goes from zero, just being his old dumbass self, and he pops into the number one, that's the first snap moment where the lights go on, where his consciousness starts to brighten, something becomes illuminated, and that something is the understanding of objectivity, and through that, you can act and maneuver the objects as you will to whatever regard you wish, you know. So you see the magician, and before him on his table is a pentacle, a wand, a sword, and a cup, a chalice. So these things represent understanding, emotional influence. You understand manifestation. You understand thought and objectivity and execution. And you understand passion and skill in work. So when you put all these things together properly, you really, you can make a gold record, you know? You can make things that can move through time and space and influence people very strongly. God, ugh, hold on just a second. Sorry, I was having an issue. Okay, so the magician is, first of all, let's look at the story of tarot again. Where is he, the magician? He's right in between zero and two. Two is the high priestess. It's the power to see beyond what is. It's the power of deep insight and in knowing what you cannot know through uncanny wavelengths. And zero is the not knowing at all. You're totally stupid. So right in between them, what is that? It's just the first step of opening up your little peepers, looking around, and sort of MacGyvering your environment into, oh my God, this is just, I think that the light bulb that's turning on in my head during this particular recording is that I am an elderly woman. If you don't know what MacGyver, is, you're going to have to find out. You're going to have to ask your electronic devices to help you because I'm moving on. Anyway, the magician is about not so much magic tricks or even like a wizardry, like conjurings. It's I think it's about the power of making I would say more like the magic you make in like a kitchen or making a beautiful painting. You're like, what? This is magic. How'd you do it? It's like really clearly understanding how to put everything together and understanding that you need all four components to make something right. So, like, for example, have you ever listened to a song more than two times in a row? And I hope the answer is yes, because you really haven't lived until you found a song that you're like, I need to, like, just get this one more time, if not more. And if that's ever happened to you, you might notice you have to hear it again because it hits certain markers within you exactly as you are in that moment. It really stimulates you. It has you on the hook, like emotionally, intellectually. It drives up a passion inside of you. It makes you feel more present. It takes all the forces inside of you, and it kind of just arrests you for a bit into listening to something that you can't even really comprehend what it is, you know. And Johnny Cash's mean movie Fake Dad said, it's nothing. Like, how does that happen? How do they do it? And I think I'm talking about music specifically, because I think that to me, that's one of the closest things to magic that I think we can all get down with. Because being as I am, I have run into many men. It's a man, and I'm not gonna even pretend it's not always a man that does this. That's like, wait a minute, you think they just make up what they think. I think you think that magic's real. You're an idiot. Explain it then if you think that. And I'm like, first of all, I don't know what you think I think, because whatever you think I think is just a projection of whatever you think is like the stupid person that just does whatever. I don't know, you know. It's hard to imagine what they think I'm thinking of. And when you talk about unseen forces with people, you could really see the defenses going up. And they're like, I don't believe in nothing. And it's almost always entirely universal that people love music. And sure, it's pleasant. It sounds nice. It's like, yeah, I like things that sound nice. It makes me feel calm or happy or whatever I want to feel. In the same way that I like good food or like this is a pleasant smell or a sunny day. Like, what's the problem? Why is it that deep? But it's so specifically invisible. And the sounds communicate something that you can never quite explain how it makes you feel. Even if you're an amazing writer or even when I literally read a review for an album or something like that, it's just, I just feel like they just sort of, whoever's writing it just punches their fat hand into a barrel of adjectives and they're like, this looks good. And they just throw it down. Yeah, those are the ones. It's, you know, like, even if they do a good job of that, it always feels very ham-fisted, and you never can read about music in a way that it's the same as listening to it. That never happens. At best, you have a great time reading something, and that's its own experience. And then you listen to something, and it's a different experience. And at best, they're equally great experiences, at best. But they're never the same experience, because there's something invisible happening there. And I think when we talk about magic, if we were going to visualize it, it almost always would be invisible, but sometimes like sparkles, you know what I mean? Or when you see it illustrated in movies, like a magic-y thing happens. Sometimes there's like a glow around it or this or that. But that's the best we can do to visualize something that is totally invisible. So there's different kinds of magic you can do and look up and fuck with, I'm sure. But I mean, everything I know about like spell casting, there's many different traditions, and I believe in spells and rituals, but for different reasons, for many different reasons. I think that sometimes they really work because on the magician's table you see the pentacle, so it's like earth and objectivity would be the sword, and then the wand is action, fire, and cups is an emotion. So sometimes doing a ritual is a good way to fumble with the manifested world, to use it as a sort of device, an exercise to externally re-maneuver the piping in your subconscious, to rewire your mind on something. And I believe that. I totally do. But I also know that I've seen some weird shit that is outside of that explanation. So there's this idea that everything in the world is vibrational. And even I mean everything, all matter. It's like basically different dots that are dancing together in different sorts of motion and rhythms and distances, and somehow based on that, like you have a body and there's an ice cream cone and you have walls and a roof and there's roads, like all the it's weird. It's just like the vibrational dance of these dots create the world around us. And that if you think about it just in a abstract form, you could imagine, sure, that makes sense that music would make us feel a certain way or would have a certain power. And then one step further, and I think it's important to be mindful of the music you're listening to sometimes, because you can hypnotize yourself in a way that you may not overtly realize. So there are a lot of songs about, when I was in kindergarten, I drew this diagram about, it just said songs on the radio, and it was a pie chart, and it said love songs inside the circle, and there was just a little line drawn into it, a little sliver, and it said not love songs. And I was a fucking genius, because basically that's true, okay? Everywhere you go, everything's just love stuff, or someone's mad about love, they're real mad, and they're just bitching off all this stuff. And it's okay to get mad about love, but and it's okay to vent. You could say stupid shit. I basically only say stupid shit, so I get that, that's fine. But I think aligning with and accepting in the groove of feeling mad about small differences and never being okay with it. I don't know if that's a good way to treat yourself, is to take that in. I also remember what I said earlier about someone can write a song about you and that becomes your curse. Well, that's true. And you can deal with what you want. You could do what you want with that. But I know that firsthand because that's happened to me before. I had like a little falling out with a friend of mine like almost 10 years ago. And we were mad at each other for a minute. She was more mad at me. Because back then I was a little hussy and she didn't like it, so whatever. Like, I'm like over here, girl power. Like, I don't treat women like that. But she was mad. And she, in that time when she was mad at me, and no need to like say any names or go over any details because it's really beside the point. But she wrote a couple songs about me. And then after that, we made up. And the only reason why I even know they're about me is because I saw that she had a write-up in some magazine or something, so I read it, and she said that she had written a bunch of songs about me because she was mad at me, and I was like, what the fuck, dude? So I called her, and she was like, oh, I didn't think you would find out about that. I'm like, you wrote it, you said this on literally a public forum, like, what? Very hilarious. And the thing is, she did okay, you know, she did okay. So there's been several instances over the last decade where I'm at a party or I'm at a store or I go to a new friend's house who's playing a record, and the songs will come on that are about me, and I'm like, wow, this is that magic they're talking about, where you can curse someone. Because, I mean, it doesn't have to be more powerful than, it's uncomfortable and weird, and I don't like it. That sucks. And also, it puts me in a position where am I like, stop everything, guys, the song's about me, and it doesn't make me feel good, please change it. Like, I can't do that, you know, so it's just a real fuck you, you know, and you gotta live with it. You just have to. And what's even more hilarious is, if ever I go to one of her shows on every blue moon, you know, she'll be like, we played your song, did you hear? I'm like, oh, I heard that you played my song for me. Why do you think I like that? Like, I don't like it. Like, it's weird, you know? So, that's funny. And then there's the other side of it, right? Like, someone who is in a mood, they make a song, and maybe it's a song like that, like, I'm mad at my friend for 5 minutes, and now I'm gonna make a song saying, like, I'll never be your friend again, you suck. And then it becomes moderately popular, so they keep singing it. Imagine doing that, like, you fall in love with somebody, you meet someone, they rock your world. They make you feel like a reborn cherub, and you're just like, wow, I don't understand what's happening to me. Maybe I feel the spirit of music moving through, and I'm going to make this beautiful ballad, and that will express like the depth of this pure love. And then like 8 months later, it becomes wildly successful. Let's say like it's a very popular song, and you're asked to tour the world, you know? And as you're on tour, and everyone's like, that's the hit, that's why we're, that's the money, we gotta hear the song. As you're on tour, you find out this person that you've fallen in love with is like sleeping with other people, emotionally manipulative, like a terrible human being, and you feel crushed and horrified, and you have to keep getting up there and playing the song. And then let's say that your career, by the grace of God, is still great and abundant. And let's imagine for the next 20 years, you have to keep playing that song, like, all the time. And in front of a live audience that's just, like, singing along audibly and being swayed by it because they're just projecting all of their feelings, and you have to really bring it because you're still a performer. And inside of you, something just cracks and dies because there's this huge dissonance between the original passion and purity of what you wanted to play and give and what is left. So yeah, magic is fucked up is all I'm saying. So be careful. Conjure responsibly. And I also want to mention that I really don't like that most songs are love songs. I think it's stupid. I mean, don't get me wrong, love is cool, but it's like, is that the most interesting thing? Or is it just like the most horny thing, you know? I don't know. I just think that it'd be cool if there were more songs about other kinds of things. Well, anyway, if I could make everything that I'm expressing a long-winded, rambling magic spell, it would be, how amazing could it be if everyone was just allowed to express freely as they like, as they do, but somehow everyone became cognitive that everything they're expressing and producing and saying to each other and putting out there is in fact a spell. Every time you get dressed in the morning and make a decision to wear a color or to comb your hair a certain way, and you look in the mirror and you think whatever you think about your reflection, that it was all a spell you were putting on. Everything, every decision you make, you're conjuring a reality, and sometimes you're doing this in a way that feels not conscious, but if you were, could you imagine? I think imagining is the first point, is imagining what you would like to do with that power, and then having the will to go ahead and do so. And I don't know if you ever saw any of the Harry Potter movies, but there's some great magicians in that. And one thing that I, for some reason, really stayed with me was the wizarding fight between Voldemort and Dumbledore. Yeah, I said it. So there's this great moment where little snake nostrils Voldemort shatters all this glass with his magic, with his boom hands. He just goes, and then all this glass shatters behind him, and it's sharp like daggers, and it's moving like a big arrowhead, like giant pointy 1,000 cutting edges moving directly towards the benevolent Gandalf, aka Dumbledore Merlin guy, you know, the nice wizard. And as all these points are moving towards him, he like does this sort of like sonic boom flick of his wrist, so there's a shield of some kind of protective force field around him, and as a glass is coming towards him and meeting this bubble skin of a magic force field bubble, it all of the glass becomes sand, and the sand gracefully whoosh, like wisps around and doesn't hurt a fly, you know. So what to me that demonstrates is there's a damning being who's consciously and willfully maneuvering the environment to his will, which is a means to do harm to another. And through like a snap judgment, this other willful being decides to maneuver the environment that he's in, which is a bunch of danger daggers coming right towards him. And he says, I'm just gonna turn these into sand. I don't know if I've lost you, but I think the point that I'd like to make about understanding and recognizing your own inner magician is you're constantly able to respond to your environment. And your environment could suck. I mean, it probably isn't that bad. I mean, if you're listening to my show, I'm sure you're doing all right. Like, this is a pretty obscure experience, and I don't know why. I imagine that you're not doing too bad. Like, you have will, is what I'm saying. You're allowed to respond to your environment, which is the only place that you could live at any given moment. And let's say that somebody writes like a shitty song about you that's like, I'm so mad at you, you're a dumb bitch, or whatever, and you have to hear it everywhere. And you're like, God, you really got me. And how do I respond to this? Yeah, so you get to decide. And even if someone condemns or damns you or disses you, like, you're still a contender, you know? And I think that you can't get punked into forgetting that. Well, you most definitely can, but you can get pushed into a position where you forget your power quite easily. And not always, like, because someone does something to you. You could just forget that you have total power over your environment at any moment. And you can do what you like with that information.